hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court. Okay.
Good morning, all. The first case for argument is Bricks versus the EPA. Ms. Dealey?
Yes. May it please the court? Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sheila Dealey. I represent Bricks Incorporated in this case. This is an appeal from a decision of the United States Environmental Protection Agency's Environmental Appeals Board denying Bricks its attorney's fees and expenses under the Equal Access to Justice Act. The underlying action in which Bricks prevailed after a two-day hearing was an enforcement action filed by Region 5 of the U.S. EPA under the Clean Water Act for the alleged filling of a jurisdictional wetland. In its decision on the merits in the underlying action, the Environmental Appeals Board found that Region 5 had not met its burden of proof on the threshold issue of Clean Water Act jurisdiction over the wetlanded issue. The EAB expressed serious doubts about the reliability of EPA's evidence in support of its position, finding that the evidence suffered from a fatal lack of clarity, was contradictory and inconclusive, ambiguous, unconvincing, of limited value, and failed to provide the critical missing link. The EAB did not reach the remaining arguments of Bricks. Notwithstanding its decision, the EAB ruled on the EJA petition that Region 5 was substantially justified. The EAB also declined to address whether Bricks was entitled to an award above the statutory cap of $125 per hour, based on the specific wetland expertise of Bricks' attorneys. Under EJA, a prevailing party in an administrative proceeding is entitled to an award of fees and expenses in defending the proceeding if the government's position in this case was not substantially justified. Under EJA, the government has the burden of proving that its position was substantially justified. I'd like to review just a few key facts with respect to the property at issue. The Bricks property is a triangular-shaped property located in North Aurora, Illinois. It's geographically surrounded by major highways. Interstate 88 is to the south. A four-lane county highway is to the west, and a roadway is to the east. And the highways are artificially elevated on steep banks. This hot property was historically farmed, and it appears that the farmer dug a drainage ditch from the culvert under Interstate I-80 under the county highway across to the Interstate I-88. The ditch was man-made, it was low quality in vegetation, and dominated by plants that can survive in a variety of conditions.
When was that ditch built? What's the best guesstimate?
There isn't testimony in the record with respect to the best guesstimate, Your Honor.
Thank you.
However, it does appear it had been there for more than a few years.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The stormwater management in this area has been substantially impacted by development, and east of the Bricks parcel across Orchard Road, there was an autumn wall with a stormwater retention pond that drained during rain events beneath Orchard Road and onto Bricks' property. I want to note also that Bricks had hired two wetland consultants prior to commencing with its project. There was testimony in the record which established that Bricks' consultants had advised it that it was covered by a nationwide permit then in effect, which would not have required notification to the Corps at all for a permit. Nevertheless, Bricks did submit a notification prior to this matter ever becoming an enforcement action. And one issue in the case which was not decided by the Environmental Appeals Board but argued by Bricks was whether it was covered by that nationwide permit. This court decided United States versus Hallmark Construction Company in 2000. Under that case, the United States has the burden of establishing that Region 5 had a reasonable basis for the facts alleged, a reasonable basis in law for the theories propounded, and a reasonable connection between the facts alleged and the theories propounded. We do not believe the EPA can meet this threshold. Region 5 alleged only conclusory facts using the language of the regulation. Virtually all of the factors found by this court to favor an award of fees in Hallmark are present in this case.
How do you think this recent case, United States versus Gerke Excavating, impacts on your argument?
Your Honor, I don't believe I do believe that case impacts whether the United States has had a reasonable theory for the lot alleged. However, I want to note that if you look at the record in this case, the United States was never very clear on exactly how it wanted to establish jurisdiction. The hydrologic connection theory, which was approved by the court in the Gerke case, was one that was not alleged at the outset, but became magical language used in the briefing in the case once other cases started to be decided by other circuits.
But that still doesn't that give them a reasonable basis in law? You know, I mean, we've just, the Gerke case said, yeah, okay, that's, that worked.
Your Honor, I don't believe the fact that a legal theory was approved establishes that the facts in this case were supported that theory. The fact that a legal theory exists out there and has been approved by the court doesn't mean that Region 5, that the record shows that Region 5 had a basis to move forward with that theory.
So your case really is that the facts don't fit the law?
It is substantially fact-specific in this case. A review of the record will show that Region 5 at various times claimed different means of establishing jurisdiction. Initially, in the complaint, Region 5 asserted that the wetlands were adjacent to an unnamed tributary of Blackberry Creek. Region 5 also claimed in its penalty calculation, which was admitted into evidence, that the wetland was adjacent to the lake branch of Blackberry Creek. Region 5 testified that it searched for a migratory bird connection. Only in its briefing did it turn to the hydrologic connection theory, and later in its briefing it said that the wetlands were adjacent to the east branch of Blackberry Creek.
Were you prejudiced by that shift in theory? Are you arguing that somehow or another your client was not able to litigate the matter fully before the agency?
Your Honor, once the solid waste decision came down, which established which substantially scaled back Clean Water Act jurisdiction and referred specifically to the need for a nexus with navigable waters, BRICS in fact moved to extend the time for the hearing, which was coming up in a very short time period from that decision. Region 5 vociferously objected to extending the date, and the administrative law judge denied an extension. While we were able to move forward with the case, I believe that Region 5 did not fully examine that decision, and BRICS was not given an opportunity also to fully evaluate the impact of the decision. Nevertheless, the record is what it is, and there are simply not enough facts in the record for Region 5 ever to be able to meet the standard in Hallmark showing that there was a reasonable basis in law, there was a reasonable basis for the facts alleged. Similarly to Hallmark, the Environmental Appeals Board relied substantially on the initial decision of the administrative law judge. However, the Environmental Appeals Board ignored its own decision on the merits, and the ALJ decision, as recognized by the Environmental Appeals Board, was itself unsupported by evidence. This is why the Environmental Appeals Board overturned it. The ALJ found that the ditch was hydrologically connected to the Fox River. However, the finding is unexplained, and Region 5 did not present evidence on that point. Of critical importance, there's no evidentiary citation in the ALJ decision for the finding that after passing underneath I-88, the water flows for approximately 1.5 miles until it reaches the east run of Blackberry Creek. The ALJ did not make clear how and when this water flows, although the ALJ did state that no one piece of evidence supported jurisdiction. In Hallmark, this court also noted the government's knowledge prior to trial of the existence of conflicting evidence. Here, jurisdiction was highly questioned by BRICS, and counsel for BRICS specifically raised the apparent lack of evidence concerning jurisdiction in a letter to Region 5 dated April 17, 2000, which was several months before the administrative order assessing a penalty on BRICS was filed at all. We believe that Region 5's conduct is more egregious here than in Hallmark, where the Swank decision did come down and Region 5 did not stop to view the inconsistencies in its case, but in fact objected to an extension to evaluate the impact of that decision. There were other arguments also raised by BRICS that were not addressed by the Environmental Appeals Board. Before Region 5 filed its order assessing a penalty, it had filed a compliance order ordering BRICS to apply for an after-the-fact permit from the Army Corps of Engineers for the fill of wetland and propose a mitigation ratio of 5-1 for impacts. Under Corps regulations, mitigation is allowed and in some cases required to mitigate for actual impacts that are known. Here, testimony in the record established that Region 5 and the Corps used the mitigation requirement as a means to further penalize BRICS by ordering them to propose 5-1 mitigation. And they admitted that that was done as a deterrent to other parties that might engage in unauthorized activities and was in no way related to the impacts of the fill.
You didn't contest that, though, did you?
We did not. My client did not contest the mitigation at the time. However, a further argument made by BRICS in the lower proceeding was that the after-the-fact permit was intended to be a final resolution of this matter, and by following up with a penalty order for something that at that point was indeed permitted, it was an abuse of the regulations governing after-the-fact permits, compliance orders, and penalties. And in that sense, it was an unauthorized action. We did contest the mitigation ratio in before EPA. However, the Environmental Appeals Board declined to reach that issue as well based on its finding with respect to jurisdiction. I've already mentioned the argument about the nationwide permits. And BRICS also argued below that the delineation, by virtue of the fact that BRICS had submitted a nationwide permit pre-construction notification, that the delineation had become final by the lapse of time, and Region 5's claim below that the wetland delineation performed by two wetland consultants for BRICS was inaccurate was in fact precluded by operation of Corps regulations. The EAB did not decide that issue either. Your Honor, I see my rebuttal time is coming, and I'd like to reserve my minutes.
Thank All right, very good. Thank you, Ms. Dealey. Ms. McBride.
May it please the Court. My name is Tara McBride, and I'm an attorney at the Department of Justice, and I'm here today representing EPA. With me at counsel's table is Tom Nash from the Office of Regional Counsel, EPA Region 5. This court should deny BRIC's petition for review of the board's fee determination because EPA Region 5 was substantially justified using this court's three-part hallmark test in bringing the underlying Clean Water Act administrative penalty action. Substantial evidence supports the board's determination. The region had a reasonable basis in law for asserting Clean Water Act jurisdiction. It had a reasonable basis for the facts alleged, and the region's evidence reasonably supported its position. I would first like to mention that BRICS has brought up issues about whether or not the nationwide permits were in effect, the mitigation plan, the wetlands delineation. BRICS has waived all of these arguments before this court because they had not contested it anywhere in their opening brief. In their opening brief, they allege that the region did not have a reasonable basis in law for the Clean Water Act, for asserting Clean Water Act jurisdiction, and did not have a reasonable basis in fact. I would like to turn first to the facts, the actual facts of the case, and whether or not the EPA Region 5 did have a reasonable basis in fact. BRICS has argued that because different names of the branches of the creek were used, that somehow the region failed to show that there was jurisdiction in this case. With respect to the penalty calculation, the administrative law judge admitted into evidence for the limited purpose of just the penalty calculation something called the Blackberry Creek Watershed Plan. And in that watershed plan, it referred to this creek as the Lake Branch of the Blackberry Creek. BRICS consultants referred to it as the East Branch of the Blackberry Creek. And later on in testimony, it was referred to as Tributary A, because I don't know if anyone was really sure of the exact name of the tributary that went through the property. To be clear, in the original administrative complaint filed by EPA Region 5, the region stated that the wetlands are adjacent to an unnamed tributary to Blackberry Creek, which is a tributary to the Fox River, which is an interstate water. Nowhere did BRICS... It is clear from this that BRICS has continued to assert that the wetlands were connected by a surface water connection to the Fox River. With respect to the facts, the board found that the region presented a significant amount of evidence pointing to a possible hydrological connection. The region had presented testimony of several witnesses, as well as entered into evidence several maps pointing to this possible hydrological connection. The board also concluded that this is not a situation where the region omitted a crucial element of proof in the case. Proof was in fact presented, but it fell short of the burden of persuasion. With respect to EPA Region 5's reasonable basis in law for asserting Clean Water Act jurisdiction, the Supreme Court's ruling in Swank did not have any effect on this case, because the region had never, at no point in time, asserted that there was a migratory bird rule connection with the wetlands on the property. This is evidenced, again, by the administrative complaint, which states that there was a hydrological connection. With respect to the other factors considered by the board, whether or not the region had reasonably supported its position, the board found that the region had, in fact, reasonably supported its position with evidence, but again, that this evidence fell short. The board looked at the closeness of the question, which is something that this court looked at in Hallmark. The board also considered the fact that the administrative law judge only looked at, only considered the fact that, looked to the findings of the board and did not consider the entire record as a whole, which is what a court needs to do when reviewing a fee petition, is look at substantial justification for the entire proceeding. Finally, I would like to point out that this court said in Hallmark that even where in Hallmark the Corps was found to be arbitrary and capricious and that the evidence rested on speculation and conjecture, this court said that these conclusions alone do not mandate an award of fees, but it's just that the government has to do that much more to prove that its position was substantially justified, which the region did in this case, and the board found that the region had supported, and the board found that the region had supported its position with substantial evidence, or was substantially justified. If there are no questions, I would like to conclude that I would ask that the court deny BRICS' petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McMahon. Ms. Dealey.
Your Honor, I'd like to first note that the arguments with respect to the nationwide permit and delineation and other issues were raised in footnotes in BRICS' brief, but the purpose of bringing those points up was not to re-argue whether they were, in fact, covered. It was just to point out that there were legitimate other arguments that were not addressed by the board that nevertheless support BRICS' position in this case. With respect to the evidence cited by the United States in support of its position, the Blackberry Creek Watershed Plan was first never admitted into evidence for any purpose other than penalties, and it is inappropriate to cite it here in support of its position. Nevertheless, BRICS does dispute that the Blackberry Creek Watershed Plan says what the United States says it does, and there was evidence in the record, specifically mapping and other items, which Frick's presented, which contradicted the United States Environmental Protection Agency's position. I'd like to ask the court to decide not only the issues of substantial justification, but if the court does in fact decide that BRICS, that the United States was not substantially justified, the court should also decide whether BRICS is entitled to increased attorney's fees as a result of specialized expertise.
What was the amount of attorney's fees awarded in this case? $79,000 something?
Yes, it was something in that range, Your Honor. The amount that BRICS asked for was about $166,000, and that does not include the EJA proceedings, which case law establishes BRICS would also be entitled to recover if it recovered on if the government was not substantially justified. We believe the evidence shows that BRICS's attorneys were specialized. They had an expertise not only in environmental law but in wetlands law, and to ask the Environmental Protection Agency to decide that this issue as something within its own specialized expertise undermines the position of the Environmental Protection Agency in this case, because that specialized decision supports that this case is in fact specialized. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.